morning. The second scripture reading this morning can be found on page 216 in your pew Bibles, Joshua 4, verses 15 to 24. The Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the Jordan." Joshua therefore commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." When the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet, touched dry ground, the waters of the Jordan turned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal, saying to the Israelites, "When your children ask their parents in time to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall let your children know, 'Israel crossed over the Jordan here on dry ground.' For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we crossed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and so that you may fear the Lord your God forever." This is the word of the Lord.
Over the past several weeks, we've been following Moses through from Egypt with the people in the desert all the way to the brink of the promised land. But Moses doesn't get to occupy the promised land. He climbs up to the top of Mount Nebo, right there on the edge of the border, where he gets a glimpse of the promised land. And there he dies. But before he heads up the mountain, he passes the torch of leadership to Joshua. And we pick up the story again as Joshua and the people are camped on the near side of the Jordan River, getting ready to cross over into the promised land. Lots of excitement in these and the next few chapters. The choir just reminded us of that famous battle of Jericho. Seven times around the walls, and the trumpets blow, and the walls come tumbling down. Then the dividing up and settling up of the new homeland. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Before all of that, we're still on the near side of the Jordan, needing to cross over. It's a pivotal point in the history of Israel. Long years in slavery in Egypt, 40 years, a long, long time, wandering through the desert. Dramatic escape from Egypt before that, the plagues pursued by Pharaoh's army, the crossing of the Red Sea, years of wandering and whining in the wilderness. And after those 40 years, what anticipation. The promised land. Can you imagine the buzz of conversation in those tents in the camp as the people wondered and anticipated and speculated about what it might be like now that they were so close to realizing a long hoped for dream? What a landmark place to be. When we look back, we see landmarks of God's presence and blessings in our own lives. We all have them. What are your markers? Perhaps there are certain places in your life where God has acted in a particular way, or just in human terms, an anniversary, a birthday, an accomplishment, a travel, a crisis, where God gave us strength and protection to endure and move forward. Some issue with our health or a relationship or work or life. We all have those marker points, those landmarks that we can think back to that remind us of some significant event or instance in our own lives. there are spiritual landmarks. Remember those occasions when you were absolutely certain that God was real and present for you. As a young lad, I stood in the darkened yard of a northern Saskatchewan farm and looked up at the starry sky and contemplated and came to an inner peace and certainty that there was a creator. And then in university, as I thought and looked in scripture and prayed, seeking for some guidance from God, a sense of God's presence that was as real as though I were talking to you here and now, even though I heard no actual voice or saw nothing with my eyes, there was a sense of God's presence right there in the room. And the memory of those events in my life and the feeling of them continues to be so real that those have sustained me through some of the troubled times or the dips in my faith experience where I've prayed and my prayers seem to just bounce back off the ceiling, or where I've wondered whether God was actually real or where God was in the story of my life. I could remember back to some of those landmark experiences that were real for me. Landmarks tell a story of what happened here. They're a way to communicate, a means to bring memory and honor to our past. What are those memories for you? Let them affirm you again today as a beloved child of God. Let them sustain you and strengthen you if you're going through a difficult or a dark patch in life. Let them guide you toward new and vibrant encounters with the living God who waits to meet you wherever you are. Let the memory of those times when God has been real to you come forward and be real to you again right now. The Bible is a series of landmarks, important events and places in our spiritual history. The Bible marks mementos of where God broke into the human story and changed the course of history. The Bible reminds us of where we've been and sets a course for us to continue the story on into the future. Landmark events. But on the brink of this whole new chapter for the children of Israel, they face a series of landmines, challenges that made the next step seem impossible. The flooded Jordan River was there ahead of them. The hostile enemies on the other side, they may have felt abandoned by God. There were things that were there to trip them up. They may have feared them. It's not always easy to perceive God's caring activity. The Israelites were in the desert and they looked back at Egypt. They forgot that they had been slaves there in Egypt. And they whined that Moses had brought them out into the wilderness to die. They neglected to notice the manna that God provided and the quail and the water that sustained them along the way miraculously. All they could think about was their distant past, and they weren't aware or alive to God's presence with them right there in the moment. How like human nature to miss what God is actually doing right there in our lives and around us. The flooded Jordan River was an impossible crossing. There it was in harvest flood time. The annual flood of the Jordan River was happening, and there they stood wondering how to get to the other side. And God made it possible. God stopped up that river so that they were able to cross. What are the impossibles that are facing you right now? This is not just a trite appeal to gloss over the hard times in life. Those are very real when we're in the middle of them. They can be debilitating and make us freeze into inaction or turn and run or get very angry and fight with everyone around us. How are you handling the tough circumstances that are in front of you? The people of Israel might have given up or run back toward Egypt. or turned inward to fight with each other in their fear and frustration. But they trusted their leader, who pointed them to have faith that God would give them strength to face whatever the day would bring. Joshua assured them of God's presence right there, right then. And that's a promise for you and me that rings down through the centuries. For it's God's promise. The landmines and challenges that we encounter in life are huge. But God's promise is to give us inner strength and peace for our journey. When we look around, we can celebrate God's care even in the middle of our troubles. Crossing from a life lived only by human effort to a life guided by faith and obedience is the invitation as we face the landmines and challenges of our lives. So here they were, sailing through the desert for all those years, and now they could see their new promised land just across the river. Land ho! That might have been the cry if they were actually on a ship, I guess. They just weren't sure yet how they would get there. They could see the land just on the other side of the river. And when we look ahead at those things that we believe are God's promises for us, the way forward isn't always entirely clear. And I love that couple of verses near the beginning of chapter 3 where Joshua says, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go because you have never been this way before." What's so important about the ark? Well, it represented the person and promises of God. It pointed to the fact that as the people of Israel set out to cross the Jordan and invade and possess the land, they must not do that in their own strength, but in God's strength. For it was God who was going before them as their source of victory. And such is the case for all of life, even with us. As Paul cried out when contemplating the challenges and trials of ministry, "And who is adequate for these things?" But then he answered his own question with these words, "Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God." What a way to live. The Israelites marched across the Jordan into the promised land. What an incredible story. The priests carrying the ark stepped into the water, and as their feet settled in the water, they stood still, and the waters of the Jordan were stopped up. And the people of Israel marched through, and one appointed one from each tribe picked up a stone, and with those stones they built an altar, a landmark, on the other side, so that when their children came back and said, what's this pile of stones doing here? They could say, these represent the promise of God bringing us across the Jordan River by miraculous means into the promised land. Since you have never been this way before, follow the ark. That could just about describe every day of your life and mine. Every day has its similarities. You know, you might eat a similar thing for breakfast each morning or brush your teeth the same way, but each day is also going to bring you some new things that you have never experienced or seen before. How do you sort out a path among all of the options that are part of those challenges and opportunities? Where do you find guidance for the way forward? Jeremiah reminds us that God does care for us. God has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's promise for us. And Paul in Romans 8 says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. What a guiding light. What a spirit to follow as we walk through life, facing things today that we might not have ever faced before. Our world is full of rapid change. How do we make sense of it? How do we step forward? What landmark events from the Bible have shaped your life? What landmine challenges have you navigated because God gave you strength? What new horizons are before you that inspire you to keep moving on? One of the people that some of you have heard me describe before, because he's one of my heroes of the faith, is a man named Archibald Reakey. And there's a connection with First Baptist Church. Back in 1897, the Canadian Baptists commissioned Archibald Reakey to go to Bolivia as the first Protestant missionary there. And it took him a while to get there. He didn't arrive until 1898. And he worked for a lifetime, a ministry lifetime, serving the people in Bolivia. And by the time he left, he had started a school, he had sold scripture, he had started a small church. He had a handful of Christians to show for his lifetime of effort. And he came back to Canada and is buried in Hamilton. Reakey would not have seen much result from his lifetime of effort. But in 1998, Joyce and I, along with a whole number of Canadian Baptists, went back to celebrate a century of Canadian Baptist witness in Bolivia. And we met with thousands of Baptist Christians representing hundreds of Baptist churches. And we saw the effect of our intervention and our participation in the lives of the country of Bolivia. Transformation all over the place. And just this spring, our STEP team went back to Bolivia again and experienced for themselves the fellowship of our Bolivian Baptist brothers and sisters. Reakey would not have seen that coming 100 years ago. But the question for us is, what are we doing that will bear such fruit 100 years from now? We may never see it, but our call is to follow God's lead and to be obedient to what that leading is for us, to take advantage of the opportunities that are ours, and to follow God. Sometimes the way seems dark, and we need to figure out the way forward. In his 1939 Christmas broadcast to the British Empire, King George VI quoted part of a poem by Minnie Louise Haskins titled, "God Knows." "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than a light and safer than a known way.' So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night."
In gratitude, let us respond by offering to God our gifts, our tithes, and offerings.